Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 13th, 2016. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. I'm recording this diary a few minutes after concluding a vestry meeting. That's like a parish council in the Episcopal Church. And that meeting came after two Sunday liturgies. The church building is quiet now, as everyone has moved on to whatever's next in their schedules. I have this moment every week when I, as the celebrant, dismiss the congregation. It happens at both liturgies. At the second liturgy, it happens that I'm standing in the middle of the aisle, in the middle of the worship space. We conclude the last hymn, and I dismiss the congregation with some version of the words, "Go forth in the name of Christ," or "Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord." During this Lent, I'm using the phrase, "Let us bless the Lord." And whatever it is that I say as the dismissal sentence, the congregation responds, "Thanks be to God." And then a remarkable thing happens. This group of people that has been pretty quiet and focused during the Eucharist and receiving communion, all of a sudden it breaks into a hive of activity. I hear the sounds of hymnals or prayer books being replaced to the racks in the pews. Thump, 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 thump. I hear the swishing of papers. I hear the gathering up of either purses or coats or whatever else people brought with them into the church building. And you can see this flurry of activity as people get ready to move on to the next thing. They're moving on to their lives, actually. Whatever plans they had after the liturgy, whatever things they need to do with their family or things they need to do for themselves or activities they need to undertake to prepare for the week ahead, it doesn't take very long for the worship space to empty out. Now, some folks go to coffee hour and have a snack and a conversation, and then they move on to the rest of their lives. But a lot of people go directly from liturgy out into whatever's next in their schedule. And I've been thinking a lot about that action, that moment where we take what we have been given in the worship of God out into a world where God is already at work, waiting for us to join God's work out there. But we leave. And for the rest of this week, this building will be remarkably empty, because it really is a building in which the church meets, the living, breathing community of faith that is Trinity Wauwatosa. Well, why am I talking about this? It's not simply a rector being maudlin on a rainy Sunday afternoon. It's because I've been thinking a lot about what it means to live the spiritual life. And I am becoming more and more convinced that we live the spiritual life not abstracted from the routines and the challenges, the joys and the sorrows of our everyday life. We live the spiritual life in the midst of it. In fact, we can't separate being spiritual from being human. We can't separate loving God from loving our neighbor. The Christian life looks remarkably like any other life, save the fact that we know we are living our lives to the glory of God. In today's daily office reading from the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes a bit about it, and it sounds pretty practical. And so I want to read a bit about what it means to be a spiritual person in the world. Here we go. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. On the one hand, Paul's words seem like a pretty tall order. And on the other hand, they are just admonitions to live a quiet life. Living a quiet life may seem pretty boring in a 24/7 hyper-attenuated news cycle, but that is what we are called to do. We are called to give witness through the wholesomeness of our lives that we have been set apart in the waters of baptism. So, how will we make a run at blessing the Lord with our lives in the coming days? Maybe we can find occasion to rejoice with someone who's rejoicing. Or maybe we can stop in the crush of our busyness and weep with someone who is weeping. Maybe we can allow ourselves to be inconvenienced just a bit by showing the hospitality to a stranger in simply acknowledging the stranger's presence. Maybe we could pay it forward and buy the person behind us in line at Starbucks their cup of coffee. Whatever it is, to be sure, none of those moment-by-moment actions look very big in the face of all the big issues that we seem to be facing these days in this country. But I believe that the place to start making a difference on a huge scale is to begin making a difference in the ways we live our day-to-day lives on our respective corners in our respective neighborhoods. If at all possible, Paul writes, and I concur, if at all possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all. That might be the best way we can bless the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.